There are some things you should always check, like the hygiene rating on your local takeaway, the setting on your razor, and whether the party actually is fancy dress. The other thing you should check is your Experian credit report, especially if you're looking to borrow money. It lets you understand what lenders see, so you can increase your chances of getting the best deals. It's dead easy to check it, and completely free. See it in seconds. Download the Experian app today.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome back to Peak to Pit. I'm Allie Peak alongside TJ Pittinger. We had a really fun weekend, TJ, although I think it was slightly more fun for me than it was for you. Are you eating chips in the background there?
No, I wasn't. I was just closing something. I wish I was eating chips. I just ate a, I don't want to give them any free publicity, but I just ate a protein bar. So okay. Yeah, like I wish it was chips. But I was putting the wrapper down. The protein bars are so gross, right? Like,
so I saw you rank them a few weeks ago, and you did not give enough credit to One Bars. One Bars are my favorite.
Okay.
I don't like protein bars in general.
I was ranking them. It was cookies and cream. They were all three cookies and cream.
I've never tried cookies and cream One Bars.
This is what people are tuning in for sure. Okay. But they were all cookies and cream. And what's the first thing you think of with cookies and cream? Right, like Oreos, right? Yeah. Like every other normal American human.
Yeah.
So that's what I was ranking them up against. So they got like a 6 out of 10. If an Oreo is a 10 out of 10, is a really good score.
Okay.
So that's kind of how, because when you put an Oreo on the packaging, that's what I'm thinking of. You can't trick me with that. But anyway, so I just choked out that protein.
Well, whoever makes the healthy Oreo, get in contact with me because that would be awesome.
No, I'll just stick with the crappy one. Like I don't.
I mean, I'm good with the crappy one too. Sitting here eating Chick-fil-A mac and cheese while you eat your protein bar. So clearly, I have no qualms about.
You've got a heck of a selection when it comes to leftovers. We got home and Kara was just like, "I love that spread. I love just the chili was really. Did you make the chili?
I did. Yeah. No, I made the chili.
Chili was great. The butter was great. I know that sounds weird, but like,
oh, that's so funny because we did, and everybody requests that at every party. My brothers always ask for a to-go bag. It's homemade butter.
You put like anything on. I'm not minimizing the butter; it was really good. But you put like anything on those Hawaiian sweet rolls.
Oh, heck yeah!
So that butter on those was even better. And then there was like everything from Chick-fil-A, a bunch of nuggets. I told Kara on the way in, I was like, I'm not going to eat that many nuggets. I just sat by the nugget thing.
I don't know what it is, but like you order a 12 count nugget at Chick-fil-A, I can never finish it. Yet we order a party tray and I could stand there and eat 30 of them.
Yeah. And I saw your dad like actually squirting the sauce onto each individual nugget. And I was like, this guy just needs to get a plate. Like what's going on?
Literally said to him like three times, Dad, get a plate. Like this is not your personal dish. It's fine. Get a plate.
Handed over it like I own this.
Oh, I'm only gonna eat a couple. Yeah, okay.
15 minutes later,
all sprawled out on the couch watching the game.
the Chick-fil-A nuggets were kind of like dwindling, and I see Allie go to the oven and grab a whole new box, and I'm like, yes, like
We had 20 nuggets left over when the party was over. I'm Italian, so my biggest fear is running out of food at a party. I would much rather have a refrigerator full of leftovers than have run out of something. That is literally like my biggest fear.
Especially leftovers
with Chick-fil-A that like all my children eat. Like, come on.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. So we had a great time. Alexandra and Emerson celebrated their first birthday. Their birthday was the day before.
The day before. Yeah. November 6th.
November 4th, right. Yeah. We celebrated that with a petting zoo and a bunch of crafts and Chick-fil-A. And it was a lot of fun. Elena was not a fan of the petting zoo at first. I think it was just overwhelming. Like, yeah. All these animals were her size. Like,
there was kind of a lot of animals, too. There was actually more than I was expecting. So I think that you get in there and it's like, oh, my God, they put me in a herd.
She turned around to Kara and, like, her that bottom lip started to quiver. And it was pretty funny. So then I kind of took her up to the side and Hayden and Hadley were, like, letting her pet, like, one bunny at a time. And she kind of warmed up. And we have some good pictures and videos of her in there later. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Not a lot of fun this weekend. We'll start with the bad news first and then go to the good news. Was Florida State. The good news about the Florida State game is I didn't watch one play live.
You're welcome.
I kind of followed it on Gamecast and just being busy and watching kids and drinking bourbon and, you know, just wasn't really feasible to watch much of it live on my phone. And I really didn't care that much. Like, I kind of saw it was a close game. I thought, well, I'll get home for the second half and watch that. Like, that's fine. Florida State trailed by 7 to end the first half. Second half, they didn't have Jordan Travis. And there went the offense. They didn't score another point without him. I don't know that they would have won the game, even if he was there. But, I mean, you're down by 7 at half. I mean, that's not the worst.
No, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Scenario. So with him, you know, maybe it's a little bit more competitive, maybe not. Well, no, it certainly is. I don't know that they win, but it probably looks a little better, feels a little better. He can't stay healthy, and that's because we rely so much on him running the ball, and he gets hit a million times.
I was going to say, it's your offensive line. 7 sacks, 14 tackles for a loss.
Yeah, it was terrible. I watched the condensed game, which ACC puts out. The ACC Digital Network puts out on Sunday, like really quickly after the game even is done. And they don't show every single play, but they show most plays and certainly all the key plays. And they got pressure just every single play. Like, it was Florida State's offensive line had looked much improved. And I think that's just because people weren't bringing pressure. It was just kind of sit back and let the quarterback, if he can beat you, great. If not, no big deal. This time it was Pitt's strategy was to just bring pressure. And they did. And they were really effective at it.
They were really successful at it.
And Florida State just had no chance, right? Like, that with the pressure and the hits that Travis took, we brought Blackman in for a drive. He throws an interception. They score to go up 2 touchdowns. At that point, it's pretty much over because you put in true freshman Chubba Purdy. He was okay, but again, with all the pressure, he wasn't great either.
Yeah.
And Florida State ends up dropping the game to Pitt. Pitt's quarterback was supposed to be out when we recorded last Tuesday.
Kenny Pickett was supposed to be out.
He was supposed to be out.
He was not.
Play. He played and played well. I think that was, you know, another thing that we weren't really factoring in. Once it was announced that he was going to play, Pitt did flip to a favorite. So Florida State was favored in the game, and that kind of flipped Pitt's way once it was announced that he was going to play. Not by like a ton, but like by a point or two.
Sure.
So I think it, you know, for Florida State to have won, you were kind of assumed you kind of needed a bunch of things to go the other way. First of all, Pickett not to play. Probably, you know, the 17 points that Florida State scored in the first half would have been enough for a lead if Pickett doesn't play at halftime. And then, you know, if Travis is healthy in the second half and you've got that lead, then, you know, it's anybody's game. But once Pickett played, you know, basically the roles were reversed, right? We lost our quarterback, they gained theirs, and we were expecting the opposite. So,
yeah,
not a great showing for Florida State.
Go ahead. Sorry.
She said there's a lot of concern about guys with buy-in and different things. There's different rumors floating around about these are the list of players that are going to ask to transfer. There's, you know, debate on that. And there's people coming out and parents of players on the team coming out and saying, like, that's not true. And this, that, and the other guys that are on those lists and stuff. But I don't know. We talked about this just before we got off air. Some of the coaches and Norvell are saying that they're seeing a lack of effort from guys. And I think that's totally understandable and not excusable, right? But at this point, if you committed to Jimbo Fisher 4 years ago and you've had 3 different coaches and you're not going to the NFL anyway, how much effort are you really putting forward,
right?
Like, you're not planning to get drafted. Yes, your integrity matters. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. But, like, if you knew you were leaving a job in 2 weeks, like, are you working just as hard in those 2 weeks as you did before? Probably not. That's why a lot of jump companies just pay you out and let you leave because they know you're not going to be productive. And so – you know, if I'm Norvell, I mean, I'm kind of in a tough spot. I'm not going to pull those kids' scholarship, right? Like, it's four. I mean, you just let them finish out the year.
This is a hard year. All of that aside, too, on all of these players, emotionally as well. So I think that's an additional factor. I saw a story on Game Day a couple weeks ago. Actually, it was right after we talked about effort or lack thereof or whatever, just in college football in general, and whether that had anything to do with some of the poor defensive performances. And it was actually Kurt Herbstreit and David Pollack who were saying that they felt from their end, from watching, that they were seeing nationally less effort than normal, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, probably. I don't know. It's so tough to know. I mean,
yeah.
I saw a lot of effort out of a team wearing orange and blue on Saturday, so I don't know. Yep. I mean, it's a convenient excuse when it, when it's not, when a team is playing poorly, it's a great excuse. I saw a lot of effort out of Pitt on Saturday. Well, on Sunday when I rewatched it. Saw a lot of effort out of Liberty on Sunday.
I was going to say, effort out of Jordan Travis, though. He had the longest, one of the longest TD runs in Florida State history, 88 yards. Yeah. I mean, that's got to, you got to look, when you have seasons like this, and Gator fans are experts on seasons like this, you do have to look for the bright spots. And I think that Jordan Travis is one of those. Now, unfortunately, we were talking about this off air prior to starting, that there hasn't been an update on his injury, which it doesn't seem to bode well for, you know, the next game or two at least. But I think in general, Florida State fans can feel confident that they have their quarterback of the future.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. I mean, it depends on, I guess, on his injuries, right? Like, so I don't know if I would dub him that just yet. You know, but it'll,
they are a much better team when he is on the field, though.
Yeah, for sure. They definitely rally around him and they look better. But it's going to be a tough last four games for Florida State. They play NC State this weekend. Then they get Clemson, which we all have known all year how that's going to go down. So I don't really think that anything changes there. It's just kind of how long does Dabo want to keep the dogs on. Right. It's probably a good year for us to play Clemson because of like the COVID concerns and everything else that's happened. Not that I think COVID has been spread like on the field as much, but just, you know, I think it's a good year to play Clemson because get the league, get out and keep everybody safe and go home. Right. So hopefully it's not as bad as it may be in a normal year, but I mean, that won't be terrible. And then we play Virginia and Duke, which I think if we're looking at it now, I think you're looking at 1.5 wins, right? Like there's three winnable games. There's three games that, well, there's four games that you could lose, three games you could win, and so you'll probably win half, so they'll either finish with three or four wins. I'd be shocked if they won out. It is kind of weird that they're only a 7-point dog at NC State this weekend. I don't know why that's so low. I feel like that's really low for a road game in Raleigh. Not that NC State is great by any means. Their quarterback is going to be out. Hopefully we don't get the flip on that on Saturday morning. But they looked a lot better this weekend than we did. And so that's kind of an interesting one to me that we're only a touchdown dog. If you offered me a 7-point loss right now, I might even take it because I don't want to get blown out again. But it'll be interesting to see how they rebound. Doesn't sound like Travis. I mean, there's nothing that makes me think Travis will play. So it'll be the Chubba Purdy show. And we'll see what FSU can do. The playbook's out, though. Like the recipe, the game plan, or the script, I mean, it's just blitz FSU. They have no chance. I mean, could have had Jameis back there, and it wouldn't have mattered on Saturday, you know?
Yeah.
Saw what that looked like behind the Bucs O-line. So it's just let's get to the offseason at this point, you know, with the injury stacking up and the lack of effort and everything else that's happening. I'm glad there are no more bye weeks, and we can just kind of motor through and get to the end of the year.
Yeah.
Other side of the state, middle of the state. Florida did not start out very well, did not start out very good at all. And I think there was some worry, but.
Yeah, there was.
They came back in a big way.
You know, this is indicative of the growth of this team. I don't know that Dan Mullen's previous teams get down 14-0 and recover. And not just necessarily to Georgia, but probably to anybody. I mean, I guess they did against Kentucky last year when Franks got hurt. But I also think that Franks kind of, that was a galvanizing moment for the team. So
also
I
much
think,
different.
Yeah. Well, much yeah. A much different Georgia. Opponent too. Oh, yeah, for sure. Right. But I just think in general, you can see the growth of this team because in years past, that probably would have been it. Admittedly was like, oh shit, you know, this, this is not going to be pretty, you know, 14-0 that early in the game. I mean, it was 7-0, like 25 seconds into the game. And the fact that, I mean, not only did they come back, but came back in the fashion that they did is definitely a credit to where Dan Mullen has gotten this program. And we've talked about this on here before. I think that Dan Mullen is a much better game day coach than Kirby Smart. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's a better coach overall yet. But I think he's a better game day coach. I think he's a better game manager. I think he makes adjustments better. And I mean, it took some adjustments. And I think that Florida's defense needs to get some credit. Are they where I want them to be? No. Are they where Florida defenses have been in the past? No. But I mean, that was a big time performance against the best offense they're going to face this year.
Yeah, and it was really well. I don't know if Georgia's the best offense, because my point was just about to be that I think that the biggest thing that showed up here was quarterback play.
Well, yeah, I mean that was the difference. But Florida's, I mean, I guess maybe you can argue Ole Miss or Texas A&M, but I mean, if they were A&M. To get to the SEC championship game, obviously Alabama would be the best offense that
sure.
they will have faced, and Georgia's offense is not as good as their defense. I just think, you know, they're better than Tennessee. They're better than Kentucky.
That's often they'll play for the rest of the year, for sure.
Yes, and Florida performed well, but you're right. The difference came down to quarterback play.
Yeah, which so often is the case, and so sure. often is what happens. It's what happened in the Florida State game. It's what ended up happening in the Notre Dame game. It's what ended up happening, obviously, in this game. What ended up happening in the Saints-Bucks game.
Did you see on when they threw the stats up there for Tim Tebow and Danny Werfel and Kyle Trask, and the stats were from Tebow and Werfel's Heisman seasons. And Trask is on pace to have better numbers than both of them. And this is not to say that Kyle Trask is winning the Heisman, but I mean, that's some darn good quarterback play that's going on right now in Gainesville.
Yeah. And his stats, he's also benefiting from Florida looked much better last week and then looked good again this week. You know, obviously Georgia's a better opponent than Missouri, but Trask is also benefiting from the fact that he is getting to play more SEC games with sure. a bad defense, right? In a normal year, Florida would have played two or three cupcakes to start the year. He'd have been out by the halftime of the third quarter.
Sure.
And he wouldn't have. So the fact that the defense struggled against Ole Miss, struggled against Texas A&M, struggled against South Carolina, and he's gotten to stay in for longer is helps. Helping his stats for sure. That's not to say he's not great.
I mean,
he's having a great, great.
But
if you took away if you took away a touchdown a game because of that, then he's at like, you know, then it's just like, oh, okay, well, that's pretty on par.
He became the first quarterback in the SEC to throw for 4+ scores in 5 consecutive games. And yes, this year is different because you're playing an SEC schedule, you know, only. But when you look back at who some of those quarterbacks that have played in this league are, and, you know, the flip side to playing a couple patsies is that you could be up 50-0 at halftime before you're pulled. You know, you for sure have the possibility of, if you're Joe Burrow and you're LSU and you're playing, you know, who knows what, Abilene Christian or something, to throw 4 touchdowns in a half before you sit. And so I think your point is totally valid. And I definitely think that is a factor in this. I do think when you become the first of something for an entire conference, I mean, there's been some big names. There's been a lot of great football played. Like, that's a pretty impressive stat.
Absolutely. No, I think there are certain things, like you said, that have helped attribute to it. But it doesn't make it like not impressive by
right.
any means.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Speaking on Trask, I mean, it came down to quarterback play. Florida's quarterback play was much, much better. Stetson Bennett is not great. Just could not make throws. He had guys open. He had long throws. And not that Fromm was ever great, but he could hit he could hit some passes that Bennett missed on that would have caused this game to be closer. In the second, Georgia had a great first quarter, obviously a great start. In the second quarter, they went 3 and out, 5 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, right? So they just could not get it. After the after Georgia's touchdown, they punted every single time, and only one time did they get a first down after that in the first half. They scored again on a pick six. Kyle Trask threw his second pick six in as many weeks. Weirdly, that stat just continues to happen. Like, pick sixes just continue to happen in college football, and especially the SEC. But Bennett just could not get one thing going. At halftime, it was 38-21, and the game was over because you knew they weren't coming back from 17 down. But I thought Georgia left points on the field.
Yeah.
And Bennett didn't have enough.
Not good. You know what?
Florida can play from behind because they have good quarterback play and they throw the ball a lot. So it's not a big deal. Well, Georgia wants to grind you out.
There's not enough time to catch up when you're grinding it out.
Yeah. They had no shot.
No, they didn't. And you know what I thought was really interesting in the game is that they – so, you know, Georgia started this season with – who was it? Mathis? Under center, and then we went to Stetson Bennett. But they have JT Daniels, who transferred from USC. And I saw an interview with Kirby Smart, and he said something along the lines of like, oh yeah, no, JT Daniels doesn't give us any better of a chance to win. Like, you know, we didn't consider going to him, which I just think it's bizarre because you convince this guy to come here, but you're literally saying that your quarterback who is stinking it up is a better option than him. Like, I don't know. That didn't sit well to me. And I feel like there's potentially people in transfer portals listening to that. Like, why did you – I don't know. It's bizarre to me that you're not giving this guy a chance when what you're putting on the field is not particularly impressive.
Yeah, pretty crappy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. And he always seems to say kind of weird stuff. I don't know if he's trying to, like – stick up for the guy that was in there, you know, like not say like, oh yeah, we should have gone to him. This guy sucks. I mean, you know, so you can kind of look at it both ways. But, you know, there's, like we say, there's always probably better ways to say it.
Sure.
It's also asked pretty heat of the moment, right?
Like, yeah, no, I agree. And I mean, and for Georgia as a whole, they thought they were going with Jamie Newman. So the idea that, you know, 12 days before the season starts or whatever it was, Jamie Newman decides to opt out. That's not something that Georgia was prepared for, expected, you know, whatever. And so this is probably a very different Georgia team with Newman sitting there as a starter. But I don't know. I just said the comment rubbed me the wrong way, and maybe that's not the way that he meant it at all, but that's the way that it came across. But yes, quarterback play, difference in this game. Florida has a lot of weapons. That helps as well. They can definitely spread the ball around. I felt like they were okay establishing some run. They can score fast, which is super important when you've got a crappy defense. So the good news is Florida's defense did look improved. I was happier than I have been with their defensive play. And, you know, in this game, Trask threw for more yards than any Florida quarterback ever against Georgia, which I think maybe that's a more important stat to look at than how he's done across this season compared to other seasons for quarterbacks because of the play of some non-conference and some conference games. But most a single game passing performance by any Florida player against Georgia is a pretty awesome standalone stat.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's won all kinds of awards for the game that he had, and Florida understood what Georgia's weakness was, right? Like not only is, again, this is not minimizing Trask, but Florida's going to play to their strength, right?
Sure. Like,
they had less than 100 yards rushing. They didn't try to run the ball a lot. Like they knew
they established, passing was gonna be they used it when they needed it, and it was effective in the way that they used it.
You know, Trask had nearly five times as many passing yards, nearly throwing for 500 as Florida had total rushing. And so
right.
You know, they knew what was going to be effective. They knew that they could get time to protect Trask, and the playmakers and the wide receivers and the people on Florida's team could take advantage of that secondary. So I thought it was a great game for UF. Georgia came out in the second half and threw a pick on their first drive, and that pretty much ended it, right? Like, Florida ended up punting. Georgia cut it to 16. So it was
kind of always within his back, right? Like,
we don't have to call him
Mark Richt.
Gainesville Richt. Unless he loses big in the SEC championship, because then you can say,
well,
like,
well, listen, I think that there's a chance that that happens regardless, right? If Florida gets to the SEC championship and playing Alabama, listen, I hope that it'll be a great game. I'm always terrified playing Alabama because I just think Nick Saban's the best to do it.
Yeah, I don't think it's a blowout.
I will say I like the idea of getting into a track meet with this offense. Knock on wood, as long as people stay healthy.
And I don't think – I mean, I think that Georgia's defense – Georgia had some injuries on defense.
They were missing some players.
Starting linebacker. You know, so I think that that did hurt. But I mean, I think that Georgia's defense is still better than Alabama's. Where you don't get the benefit anymore is how good of a coach Saban is, right? Like, Saban's obviously the best coach
that
probably ever lived, you know, compared to Kirby, right? So that benefit
there is no benefit there anymore.
Yeah, you no longer have that. Now, that said, I mean, also the quarterback play, right? Like, Mac Jones is and Kyle Trask are, I don't know, probably a wash. I don't know. Like,
they're both being mentioned in the Heisman conversation. Yeah, so you're not giving Trask an edge here.
Yeah, I'm not putting either one of them like way ahead of the other. Maybe if one is like slightly ahead, you know, you can go with that. I think Waddle being hurt will hurt Alabama, but they have so many weapons that, you know, I don't know that swings it too much. But, yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a fun one to watch. I think that'll be like a 48-45 game or 48-41 game.
You know, and now the goal for Florida now, though, is to not look ahead, because that is one of the struggles, I think, with teams who haven't, you know, been there before. To use nobody on this team, this Florida team, has been there before. They haven't been to the SEC championship game. Yes, Florida won 11 games last year and 10 games the year before. So it's not like they're not used to winning, but they're not used to winning anything of any real meaning, right? Dan Mullen has never coached in an SEC championship game as a head coach. He obviously has experience as an offensive coordinator for Florida being there, but not looking ahead, not getting too excited about the fact that you control your own destiny is the name of the game at this point for Florida, because there are games left in the season. Florida should win every single one of them, but if you don't show up, any of these teams could be a problem for you.
I'm going to say the only team left on Florida's schedule that can beat them comes to the Swamp this weekend. And I'm not picking Arkansas. I'm not saying that they could.
This is probably the hardest. Tennessee always scares me. Tennessee late in the year. For some reason, they always seem to put it together towards the very end.
Nah, they're not putting it together this year. Vandy's got no wins. Kentucky's got two wins. Tennessee has two wins. And then LSU, they have two wins. So, like, none of these teams are going to beat Florida. Arkansas is the only one that I would say, like, could kind of get weird. And that's just because they've got a quarterback who is better than decent, you know,
a weird game for Mullen. They have a good relationship, and that's an added thing to this weekend.
There's
too.
A scenario that, like, Arkansas could keep it close late. If Florida reads some of their own kind of press clippings and doesn't come out sharp, then Arkansas could get the upset, but nobody else is beating Florida. And even if, I mean, I know the goal is to get to the playoff, right? Like, at this point, you control your own destiny to the playoff. But even if Florida was to lose one of these last five games, I mean, they're still going to Atlanta. They're still going to play Alabama there. Obviously, if they lose one of these last five, they're no longer going to the playoffs.
Right.
But they're in Atlanta. There's no chance they lose a game. There's even less of a chance, obviously, that they lose two games. Like, I'll bet my mortgage on not losing two more games for the rest of the year. So, they're in great shape. I think the game against Alabama is going to be fun. I mean, assuming that no big injuries happen or nothing weird, I think that, I think that Florida can do enough to be in the game in the second half, which you couldn't say that the last couple of times that Florida has played Alabama in Atlanta. We all knew that was fool's gold when Florida was going to SEC championships, like the week after getting blown out by FSU, you know, you knew that nothing good was going to happen then, but I think this one will be fun. I think that Florida Alabama is a much, more exciting matchup than Georgia Alabama would have been part two. Like, I think they'd have blown them out again, and it wouldn't have particularly been close this time. I think that would be a fun game. I mean, certainly I don't want Florida to win. I mean, I'd rather the Tide win that, but I think that game will be a ton of fun and we'll enjoy it. Is it the week? Is it? Oh yeah, it is. It's directly the week after the LSU game, the 19th.
The 19th.
Right before Christmas? Yeah. We'll have to get together for that one.
Are you going? We might. I don't know. My dad was talking about that on Saturday. He's like, you want to go? I'm like, kind of. So I don't know. We'll have to see.
Can we keep the little girls?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you have to take like Brian Elena. I don't want four kids. Sounds like too much.
I don't know who would have four kids. Crazy.
Oh my gosh. We were talking about that the other day. We were just like, how do they go out and do anything? And I was like, well, the big girls are like big enough now to where like they listen a little bit, right? Like,
yeah, sometimes.
If you tell them like, go sit down and eat your dinner. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, so it's a little bit easier with them, but,
Arkansas's head coach is not going to be there on Saturday, by the way, because he has COVID.
I don't know how much that impacts or not.
I don't know either, but it impacts if more people start testing positive because there's not a place to put this game to reschedule it.
Yeah, wasn't there some concern around the LSU-Alabama game this weekend?
There was some concern. I don't know if it's been resolved or if they're still waiting on test results, because I know of when Florida's game got canceled, when we recorded our pod, it still hadn't been called, the game. And so I don't know if they're waiting.
There was a lot more smoke around the Florida.
Yeah, game. There was. But I did hear that mentioned, and essentially, like, they weren't sure what they were going to be able to do because the LSU game with Florida is already rescheduled for I believe December 12th, which is Eric's birthday, actually. But I would be weird to have a year without Alabama LSU, although I do think that Alabama is going to boat race LSU. So it doesn't really matter what week it happens or if it happens at all, because Alabama is going to slaughter them. But
yeah, it'll be, if it doesn't happen, right? If it doesn't happen this weekend, then Alabama doesn't have another place that you could put it.
Right. I don't know about Alabama, but Florida, LSU doesn't have another place that can put it. So the only thing that they could do to make it happen would be to rearrange the rest of the schedule for both teams and figure out if there's a way to play it earlier. And then whoever Alabama is playing the week that they make it earlier, I don't know. LSU's pretty packed from here on out. So
I just think you'd cancel it.
Yeah, that's my guess. I mean, it's not like it's going to be determining anything one way or the other, right?
But then at that point, Florida has to play LSU. Not that that's a tough game, but Florida has to play LSU while Alabama has a bye on that last weekend.
Correct.
If they cancel that. So that's kind of – which – does Alabama already have a bye on that 12th?
Yes, everybody does. That weekend was just left open in case a game needed to be made up. So Alabama has nothing, and LSU –
so if they cancel that game – if they cancel that game for Alabama, they should cancel it for you guys too. I mean, certainly Florida's not going to want that with the revenue you make from a home game. But
I mean, how much revenue are you making when you're only letting 17,000 in?
25% of.
Yeah, but I mean, what are your operating costs and whatever? Like, I don't know. Right.
So I mean, they should just cancel if that's the case, so that both. I mean,
it definitely is a huge advantage for Alabama to have 2 weeks to prepare. I don't really want to play Nick Saban when he has 7 days to prepare. I for sure don't want to play him when he has 14.
Sure. So. Speaking of Alabama and Florida now, we do this every week, and there has been no clarity provided, especially with Clemson losing this weekend. I think that was kind of the worst-case scenario for trying to unmuddy up these playoff waters. Alabama sits at number one, Notre Dame two, Ohio State three, Clemson four, A&M five, Florida six. In the AP, that's flipped in the coaches between five and six, which is kind of funny, but whatever. Cincinnati seven, Boise State, BYU eight, Miami nine, Indiana 10, Oregon 11. So I think those are like the 11 teams that could theoretically make it. Georgia's 12. I think they're out. Even if they win out, you know, they would need to win out and Florida lose a couple and then beat Alabama. And I still don't know if it happens. Wisconsin's 1-0. I mean, they are playing this weekend, so I guess if they win the Big Ten, they could still be in it. Oklahoma State is 5-1. I think we kind of consider them, if they run the table and win the Big 12, they could kind of be in it. But what happens now is I think the winner of Clemson Notre Dame gets in, but A&M is going to make things really weird. So much so that, like, if Florida does upset Alabama and you have one 9-1 and two 10-1 teams, I mean, Florida's obviously in because they won the SEC championship, but what do you do with A&M and Alabama, right? Alabama beat A&M, so I guess you put Alabama in.
But I mean, it is hard when you lost last week versus losing, you know, the first week of the season or whatever. It's going to be interesting. And again, I feel like it always works itself out. However, the whole thing is muddy at this point. So let's take this piece by piece. Clemson and Notre Dame will play each other in the ACC championship game unless something crazy happens, correct?
Yes.
So I don't see people signing up for a potential third rematch. So I think only one of those two teams is even really eligible for the playoffs after that happens.
I think possibly, but I think with both of their brands, like, that's kind of what you would look at, you know? Like, I don't think that, you know, if Notre Dame loses to Clemson with Trevor Lawrence there, after beating them as an underdog, if they lose by like three or something, I mean, they're just going to have just as good of an argument as anybody, right? Like,
I don't know. I just think the scenario
is Alabama beats Florida, so Florida's out, right? So we will eliminate that scenario. Do you have Notre Dame who lost to Clemson close or A&M who got blown out by Alabama?
But A&M and Notre Dame only played once. They're going to sign up for that before they sign up for seeing a third game. Potentially,
I don't think they look at it so much as like seeing the third game. I think they truly just go with who the best team is, right? Like, I think that's how the playoff committee, like, in that situation, I think Notre Dame deserves to be in more than A&M. And with their brand and the money that, you know what I'm saying? Like, Notre Dame
is supposed to consider the brand or the money. You know, in theory, when we're looking at this, but nobody has more money than Texas A&M in college football. It doesn't mean that the brand is more valuable necessarily than Notre Dame, but nobody has more money than Texas A&M. Not Alabama, not Ohio State, not Notre Dame, not Clemson, any of them. Nobody has more money than Texas A&M. I think when your loss happened the first week of the season, you have improved every single week since then, you have a pretty strong argument. And if Alabama beats Florida, they've run the table, they're undefeated, your only loss is to that one undefeated team, I think that that's a better argument than a team that has done a toss up twice. And so history shows us that this isn't a common scenario, right? But it did happen with LSU and Alabama a few years ago. Remember, it was the game that I want to say maybe LSU won. Alabama won in the regular season. I guess they only played twice. Alabama won in the regular season. Alabama went to the SEC championship. No, flip that. LSU won during the regular season. LSU went to the SEC championship game and Alabama was left out, right? And then they played again and Alabama won. Correct. And it was like 6-3 or something, like the craziest.
It was 9-6 in the regular season at LSU, and then it was 21-0.
Okay. And then I look back at like 2006 Florida. Ohio State, Michigan was decided by a field goal during the regular season, and there was a big push to have them both be in the championship game again. And in the end, they picked Florida because people don't want to see rematches. So, you know, I don't know. Do you want the rematch you've already seen twice, or do you want the rematch you only saw once?
If it goes down to if Clemson loses to Notre Dame, I'm sorry, beats Notre Dame by three with Trevor Lawrence, which I don't think will happen. Like, I think they'll beat them by double digits. So it probably doesn't matter so much. Like, I think Notre Dame will be the team that we can kind of eliminate from this.
Right.
But if it's another classic game, like the couple most recent times that Notre Dame and Clemson have played, one was a 2-point loss because Notre Dame missed a 2-point conversion. This next one went to double overtime. And then if the ACC championship is a 3-point game, I'd rather see that than Alabama beat the hell out of A&M again. I mean, if you're just asking me if I'd rather see the rematch, rematches don't matter to me. I'm a fan of like hockey and basketball.
But where would they play Alabama beat the hell out of Texas A&M a second time with an entire season under their belt? The Texas A&M team we're seeing playing right now is not the Texas A&M team we saw playing first week. Like, think about what we talked about on this show. We were like, we thought Texas A&M might be good, but they're not.
I think they beat them by, I think they beat him by 14 or more.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but I think that about everybody Alabama plays.
Yeah,
so,
well.
To be fair.
Auburn is pausing play workouts, by the way. 9 players and 3 staff members just tested positive.
That is the only game that I think that A&M could potentially lose the rest of the way.
Is Auburn, yeah.
Have we discovered how we're going to do any kind of bowl games? Are bowl games going to happen?
To happen. I think that they eliminated the 6-win, standard, essentially. So, and I want to say that I've read there are 66 bowl games potentially. I don't know. There's not quite as many as normal, but there's a hell of a lot. I don't know what, Corona doesn't affect you when you're traveling to play out of conference if it's a bowl game. I don't know if you saw that on the CDC website, but it was a recent update. So I guess everybody will just, go about their business. I don't know. I don't know exactly how they're going to do it.
Yeah, I think that eliminating the 6-game thing was smart because you're going to have so many teams that are under that, right?
Like, I mean, when you're talking about 9 and 10 game seasons versus, 12 game seasons, it's a lot harder to get to 6 wins.
Yeah, Syracuse has 1 win, Duke has 2, Louisville has 2, Florida State has 2, Georgia Tech has 2, Virginia has 2. What I've seen out of football this year is just that there are really, really good teams and there are really, really bad teams. There are not a lot of middle-of-the-road teams. Look at the SEC, it's the same thing, right? Alabama, A&M, Florida, Georgia, good teams. Everyone else in the East besides Florida and Georgia has a losing record.
Right.
Like, they're all terrible.
Yeah.
Look at the West, LSU losing record, Mississippi State losing record, Mississippi losing record. Arkansas will have a losing record after this week. So it's just, your good teams are really good and your bad teams are really bad. And so you needed to eliminate that 6-game rule because you don't have the cupcakes that you would normally play to boost your extra 2 or 3 wins that you would get a year. Saying that, it's going to kind of all shake out the way that it normally would anyway, because basically everybody's playing college football now. There aren't that many teams sitting out. And so, your teams that would typically have qualified for bowl games, or maybe they go 5-5 in the Big Ten or 4-4 in the Big Ten. Well, that team probably was going 6-6, right? Like, that's who gets the bowl game. 2-4 Kentucky is not going to get a bowl game because they eliminated the 6-win requirement, unless they win out from here. Kind of the same thing with Florida State, right? Florida State, if they get to 3 wins, doesn't just automatically get a bowl because we played less games. There are going to be teams ahead of them that people pick and take for the bowls. It would be funny, though, if Florida State went 3-8 and just because of kind of their brand and the fact that the fans will go, they got a local Tampa Bowl, like a Florida Bowl game or something like that. It's like a 3-8 team. Those extra practices are probably worth it. Like, that would be a good thing. So who are your, if you're picking 4 playoff teams right now, who are you picking? Like projecting, not like
projecting.
Who's your top 4?
Ohio State, Clemson, Florida, and Alabama.
So Florida beats Alabama and Alabama sneaks in, mm-hmm. Showing no love to Cincinnati or
Oklahoma State or Notre Dame
or my number 22 ranked Liberty Flames.
Yeah, Liberty is just on the outside, but I don't like picking against them.
So, right, yeah, that should be the new bet. Can you bet on them to make a playoff spot? The end of that Liberty game was insane. I know you had a million things going on.
I watched it after the fact, though.
Okay, I was going to say, you sat down on the couch like right as we kicked the game-winning kick, but I know you didn't see what happened before.
Yeah, no.
You said you watched it after.
I did, afterwards,
so Kurt walked in like all excited. He told me bet on Tech. I don't know if he took the money line or the spread or whatever, but he was all excited. And I said, no, they called that. So Liberty kicks the field goal with 5 seconds left. Gets blocked, run back for a touchdown by Virginia Tech. I still can't figure out exactly who called this, but either Liberty called a timeout right before.
I thought
Virginia Tech called a timeout right before, which I'm looking at the play-by-play and seeing if I can kind of see that. But let's see. Timeout. So I can't tell who called it on ESPN, but I think it was Virginia Tech, but I'm just not 100% sure there. But either way, a timeout was called just before, and Liberty got to line back up and make a field goal with
I'm pretty sure it was Virginia Tech, which is you know,
hilarious. A great way to lose a game. So Liberty moves to 7-0. There are only a couple of 7-0 teams in the country. They'll win this weekend against West Carolina. They have a 98.7% chance to win that. Then they play NC State, who basically has a bye week this week against FSU. They have a 30% chance to beat NC State. Then they play UMass, again, 97% chance to win that. And Coastal Carolina, which was their big rival when I was in school, they only got a 25% chance to win that. Coastal Carolina is really good as well, also 7-0, ranked number 16. So it'll be fun to see who Liberty gets in a bowl game. Hopefully they can get a semi-decent bowl. They won't be the top-ranked group of five. Actually, they're independent, so I guess anybody can pick them up. So we'll see, but it'll be fun to see kind of who they get for a bowl game, because that'll be the only team I'll be cheering on during bowl season. Some picks. You had a good week last week. Did you know this already?
I honestly did not even remember and did not check online. So tell me.
So you took Clemson. I took Notre Dame. I got that one. You should get double points if you pick an underdog and they win outright, but I'm not going back through and retotaling stuff. So we split on these.
Well, I would get Liberty this week then.
Me too. We both took Liberty. I'm never going to pick against them either.
Me neither.
I got Notre Dame. You got Florida. So we split there. We both took Pitt. I'm sorry. We both took Florida State. Both missed that one.
I'm not picking Florida State the rest of the season. They've screwed me too many times. They screw me when they win and they screw me when they lose. So no.
I take them on both sides. They either cover the spread or they. I finally flipped to picking Miami, and NC State covered that spread. NC State nearly won that game. It really should have really let me down, but also let me down the bet. So you got that one right. And then we both went 3-for-3 on the last three. We both picked Liberty, Oregon, and A&M. So you went 5-2 for the week. I went 4-3. You got a little closer to me this week. You are 26.
I just needed to be like a 25-game season to catch up.
Dude, this one, I think we're picking like 8 today. So okay. You have 26 of 59, or I guess that's 26-33. And I am at 28-59, so 28-31. So I'm 3 down from 500. So if I can go 5-for-8 here, I'll go back to 500. You need to go 7-for-8. So, UGA, fresh off of a loss to Florida, is an 11.5-point favorite against Missouri.
I'm going to take UGA potentially against my better judgment, but.
Oh man, I had you written down. I thought for sure spread. You would take Missouri. I took UGA as well. Miami is a 2.5-point underdog at Virginia Tech, the same Virginia Tech Hokies that just lost to Liberty. I like Miami to cover and win here.
Yeah, I do too. Sorry, can't bet. Take different side than you. Sorry.
I mean, if we pick the same thing every game for the rest of the year, then I win. So
yes, I know.
I'm good with this. I'll just wait for your picks every week. Notre Dame is a 13.5-point favorite at Boston College, fresh off of their biggest win. Oh, man, since who knows when? 93, maybe? I don't know. But
Notre Dame.
I got Notre Dame as well. Texas A&M is an 8.5-point favorite at Tennessee. I took the Fighting Jimbos again on this one.
Yeah, me too. Sorry.
Bama is a 28.5-point favorite at LSU.
Give me Bama.
Spread, but I also want Bama. Here's one where we'll disagree. Florida is a 17.5-point favorite against Arkansas. I took the Razorbacks.
Give me Florida.
Not to win. I just think that there's a good chance that they could keep it closer than it should be. But Florida still wins comfortably. Wisconsin is a 2.5-point favorite at Michigan.
Oh, give me Wisconsin all day.
No, I think that line is somewhat tricky. I think Vegas is setting a trap for me, but I am running into that trap. And then we both have this. Yeah, Michigan will probably win the game. We both have NC State this weekend, -7 against FSU. Again, that's a weird spread to me, but we'll kind of see what happens.
What is it? I didn't even listen to what it was. I'm just never picking Florida State. What is the spread?
NC State minus 35.
Okay. Shoot.
No, I'm just playing. It's NC State minus 7.
Okay, yeah, for sure give me that. 35 would be like, man, am I really going to have to pick FSU again?
And then you sweat it out too because we lose right. by 38. So, all right, that's all I got for this week. Anything else?
I don't think so. We'll keep our eye on all these COVID things. They haven't said that the Auburn game will be postponed, but if they're pausing practice, that's not a great sign for the weekend. I think there's several other schools that are having some issues. So hopefully we get a full slate of games, but it does not appear that we will. They are playing Tennessee on Saturday. Actually, no, they're not. Who are they playing on Saturday? Let's see. They're playing Tennessee on they have a bye this week. Okay. That's good for them. That is a good week to pause. Yes. Okay. So they have a bye and then they play Tennessee on the 21st. All right. Well,
cool. Well, hopefully I'm not as depressed this weekend as I was last, but we'll see how things go.
Have a great week, everybody.